Blog Talk Radio.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay, I wasn't coming in before. Sorry. Let's get some of that. Okay. Now I'm in the room, and let's see if we can connect. Yeah, they're doing some kind of technical messing with my phone. So for those on Blog Talk and TalkShoe, I apologize. I was reading the scripture and it was not coming through on the tape, and I'm just so glad I checked the board here, or else I would not even know. And that's how they literally want me to do a complete tape, and then at the end realize it did not tape. Blog Talk Radio, I apologize immensely. And you can always catch us on TalkShoe.com at TalkShoe.com. You can put in code 120423 number sign and get the complete lesson. Did not start the lesson yet. I am so disgusted that, you know, they do these things, but I'm glad I checked. And at least now it can be terrestrial. Yeah, and yeah, testing. Yeah. And I have to constantly test the mic because this is what they do. They're definitely messing with one of my phones. So again, Blog Talk. I'm sorry. We were reading Psalms 37 to rebuke demon forces. They come in many different ways. We rebuke astral projection. We rebuke electronic torture, scientific obstruction, electromagnetic weaponry in its full, income lynching, job mobbing. These demons have so many programs out here, scientific obstruction. But we call the grace of the Most High God to the divine intervention to cover and protect his people, that they will not suffer at the hands of the evil one. That they will be covered, that no accident they're plotting, no suicide they're plotting, no homicide they're plotting, none of that stuff will come into effect. And it's a sad day in America that we have to live here knowing that there are structures out here, unregulated, sitting and plotting and planning at that level, and yet will not be incarcerated. I just saw an article today where a young boy, I don't think he was even 10, they had him incarcerated for murder. You have these people out here killing people under the disguise of science every day, and nothing's being done to stop them. We just pray that that curse is going to be stopped. That secrecy curse will come to a full-fledged end. Okay. Let me just make sure I'm still in here. Testing. Okay. Make sure this mic's not. Everything according to God's timing, and we just know that we have to help maintain this earth on the righteous level until change comes about. Until God decides it's time to change, we just have to do the right thing to facilitate righteousness on this earth. So with that being said, we're looking at Micah, and again, I'm sorry for the mix-up here. That's how sick this program is. I'm going to have to report this, though. Okay, so we were looking at Psalms 37, and I'll finish it up. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him. God, we thank you for these scriptures, Heavenly Father, and we ask that you give strength to each person, God, that's being permanently put under some type of demonic attack. God of impossible, the God of miracles that can turn things around. We bind and rebuke every demon force trying to take the joy out of one's life. Bind and rebuke every demon force trying to hurt any one of us.
We ask you, God, for special protection over our elders, our seniors, Heavenly Father, and our babies, our vulnerable populations, God, that you'll put a hedge of protection and let the devil know he cannot torment them. God, we give you all the praise and glory. You didn't have to do it, but you did. We're here. We see another week, and we have the opportunity and the privilege to pray, and we thank you, God, for such. We thank you, God, for covering us all this time, and we thank you, God, for the covering that you have over us in the upcoming week. God, lead, direct, and use each and every particularly targeted individuals in the capacity that you choose to use to advance righteousness on this earth, to do the things, God, that you created them for. Don't let none of us leave this earth, God, without completing the assignment that you created us for. Prayer in Jesus. Okay, now we're looking at the book of Micah. I'll do just a little summary on Micah, then we'll go into the lesson, and then we'll have a quick little quiz. Micah, who wrote the book? The prophet Micah, he's a minor prophet, and it's just because it's one of the shorter prophecy books in the Bible. The prophet Micah identified himself by his hometown called Moresheth Gath, which sat near the border of Philistia and Judah, about 25 miles southwest of Jerusalem. Dwelling in a largely agricultural part of the country, Micah lived outside the governmental centers of power in his nation, leading to his strong concern for the lowly and less fortunate of society, the lame and the outcast and the afflicted, Micah 4:6. So he had a special concern for basically being abused by the greedy ones, as we have it today, that these demons target less income. Equal standing. So they use finances to keep people oppressed, and then they come. So, I mean, we live in a history of what was done in the Old Testament, and it's replicated now, and this is a prophet that had a great concern for the lame, the outcast, and the afflicted. Therefore, Micah directed much of his prophecy towards the powerful leaders of Samaria and Jerusalem, the capital cities of Israel and Judah, respectively, Micah 1:1. Where are we? Contemporary of Isaiah and Hosea, Micah prophesies during the momentous years surrounding the tragic fall of Israel to the Assyrian Empire in 722 BC, an event he also predicted, Micah 1:6. So he predicted that the Assyrians would take over, and it stated in his introduction to the book that he prophesied during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah in Judah, failing to mention simultaneous string of dishonorable kings that closed out the northern. During this period, while Israel was imploding from the effects of evil, unfaithful leadership, just like today, Judah seemed on a roller coaster ride, ascending to the heights of its destiny in one generation, only to fall. In Judah, at this time, good kings and evil kings alternated with each other. It was a pattern seen in the reigns of Jotham, good, 2 Kings 15:32. Ahaz was evil, 2 Kings 16:1-4, and Hezekiah was good in 2 Kings 18. Why is Micah so important? The book of Micah provides one of the most significant prophecies of Jesus Christ's birth in all the Old Testament, pointing some 700 years before Christ's birth to his birthplace of Bethlehem and eternal nature, Micah 5:2. Can you imagine he was predicting that the Son of God was going to come on earth? Old Testament, and then the New Testament came. Surrounding Micah's prophecy of Jesus' birth is one of the most lucid pictures of the world's future under the reign of the Prince of Peace. Micah 5:5. This future kingdom, which scholars call the Millennium Kingdom, will be characterized by the presence of many nations living with one another in peace and security. Excuse me, and coming to Jerusalem to worship the reigning king, that is Jesus himself. Because these events have not yet occurred, we look forward to the Millennium Kingdom at some point. Talking about that. Much of Micah's book revolves around two significations, one of judgment on Israel and Judah, Micah 1, chapters 1 to 3. Other of the restoration of God's people in the Millennium Kingdom. Judgment and restoration inspire fear and hope, two ideas wrapped up in the final prophecy, a courtroom scene which God's people trial before their creator for turning away from him. God reminds the people of his good works on their behalf, how he cared for them while they cared only for themselves. But rather than leave God's people with fear and sting of judgment, the book of Micah concludes with the prophet's call on the Lord as his source of salvation and mercy, pointing the people toward an everlasting hope in their everlasting. How do we apply this to our lives? Much of Micah's indictment against Israel and Judah involves these nations, justice towards the lowly, just business dealings, just like today, robbery, mistreatment of women and children, and a government that lived in luxury off the hard work of its nation's people. We are reliving history. Where does the injustice dwell in your own life? Who are the lowly in your life? Need a call towards repentance like the people of Israel and Judah did? Micah's impassioned plea for God's chosen people to repent will cut many of us quick. But most of us don't decide daily to cut people down in ways to carry out injustice. Instead, we do it out of habit. Let's allow the words of Micah to break us out of our apathy about extending justice and kindness to others and press on towards a world that better resembles the harmonious millennial kingdom to come. Let's determine to live as God desires, justice, to love kindness, walk humbly with our God. So to Micah 6, verse 8. So that was just a summary, and take a look at the lesson here. The book of Micah is a prophetic oracle. The prophet Micah wrote it 742 to 686 B.C., shortly before the northern kingdom's fall in 722 B.C. The key personalities are all the people of Samaria and Jerusalem. The purpose of the book of Micah was to proclaim warning and judgment to both the northern and southern kingdoms. His message was similar to that of Isaiah and was written about the same time. Micah described the impending judgment that would eventually exile the nation. Chapters 1 through 5, they specifically explain judgment for the wicked nations. For I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the open country, planting places for a vineyard. I will pour her stones down into the valley and will lay bare her foundations. Then chapter 5, Micah miraculously predicts the birthplace of the Messiah in Bethlehem. Also in verse 2, he teaches that the Messiah is an infinite Savior from everlasting. But as for you, Bethlehem, too little to be among the clans of Judah, one will go forth for me to be ruling Israel. His going forth a coming long ago from the days of eternity. Chapter 6 to 7 of Micah, Micah declares that God, what God requires of men. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love, to kindness, and to walk humbly with God. God's restoration and salvation to Israel people, who is a God like you? You who part, he who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love.